This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Forever Dog.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation. We the real rock stars, and I'm the biggest of all. I just told you who I thought I was. A guy.
I'm really happy for you. I'll let you finish.
Ooh, baby, that you stepped into my world. You notice I'm that kind of girl who loves her diamonds and white pearls. Oh, so Timmy, you just sat away in London. The tip on the sea, you surprised me with gifts from Tiffany.
What's that from?
That's from a Kanye West track. Pure Bliss is the last track on Cool Summer.
Okay. We're going, I guess.
Speaking of Cool Summer.
Ruthless from the beginning. What's up?
What's going on? Welcome back to the Boogie A Podcast. It's Rob Hayes.
I'm Chris Daniels. We're in the final week of Kanye's, I guess, I don't know what we didn't label this thing. June albums, the last one, fifth one, Teyana Taylor just hit late as usual, as everything. I mean, I guess everything's going to be late.
All of them were in Gemini season except for this one.
No, wait.
Cancer season.
Wait. I feel like you about to do something messed up to us cancers, dog.
No, I'm just saying, you know, hey, this album was appropriately titled.
Keep the same energy
is the most ironic name, because I feel like I don't have the same energy I have for Ye. I don't have the same energy I have for Ye. I don't have the same energy I have for Kids Be Dope. I don't have the same energy I have for Nasir. But Nasir kind of took some of the energy out of me. And then KTSE, that's where we are now.
It's an R&B album for the most part. I feel like, I don't know.
There's R&B albums that I love. There's short R&B albums that I love. Make It Last Forever, if you reduce that to 7 tracks, it would be banana. There's only 2 skippables on there. Don't Be Cruel, you reduce that to 7 tracks, crazy album. You know what I'm saying? You get 7 tracks to do an R&B album, I feel like I should be feeling everything.
House of Balloons is 6 tracks.
I feel like Teyana Taylor is, we know her for what?
My love is
for dancing. We know her for dancing. And I didn't feel like there was any danceable tracks on this album except for WTP.
Yeah, the one where you definitely, 2 seconds in, it's like, okay, I was gonna put my headphones on. Depending on where you're at. They didn't, no warning on that song at all. Just right in. But
if you hate someone at your job, cue up WTP
on their computer.
They sit back to their desk, they start playing.
Oh, man. You're getting fired real quick. Or at least, it's an HR situation. There's a couple of tracks on the album that'll get you in trouble. Because Hurry, I didn't know. I found out today those moans are from the Kim sex tape.
Wow.
Yeah.
On the same album with Never Would Have Made It.
I mean, if I'm gonna keep it.
Does Ray J get a check?
I don't think they use his sounds. But I guess maybe.
Yeah, but I'm saying he had something to do with the sound. He was engineering.
Like, is that a co-writer credit? What would you call that?
I don't know what kind of credit you call that.
Oh man, that's I don't know what to think of it. I guess it's definitely inventive, but I mean, you got to be real comfortable. And it's not even your album.
I mean, that ain't the first time somebody did that. If you listen to that old song, Love Won't Let Me Wait, there's just moaning in that song.
No, I'm not talking about, I heard moans in other people's songs, but moans from your wife's sex tape on an album that ain't even yours.
That lets you know he got a hard copy. You can't sample something off streaming. You know what I'm saying? You got to have that thing downloaded.
Wow.
It is on a current hard drive.
I mean,
who found that out, or did it just come out?
It's I don't have it necessarily verified, but that's what's making the rounds on the interwebs.
That's wild.
I mean, if it's said to be wrong, shut down, then I guess that takes some of the heat of it. But having at least in the past seen that boring sex tape, I don't think it's. I think it sounds pretty spot on. That's just, you know.
You remember what the moan sound like? That's crazy. I don't even want to get into you know what I'm saying? Hey, we're going to leave that alone, man.
For now.
I really thought Tiana was going to have like the soundtrack for BET Weekend, and I don't feel like that happened.
I mean, I
feel like her listening party was in LA because of BET Weekend. And I don't feel like, you know, I feel like that moment was lost. Did you watch the BET Awards?
No, I haven't watched it.
You missed one of the greatest male diva moments ever. Jamie Foxx bullied Donald Glover to get on.
I did see that. I did see him like that was like I saw that with him. Man, I saw that with Michael B. Jordan. I felt bad.
They
for
had
Michael
a triple threat off. It was crazy.
I did see that. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then, Jamie Foxx, like, what you got on, man? And he's like, pajamas. Or he's like, no, I like the outfit. And then Childish Gambino's just like, pajamas. And then walks off the stage.
Hard to tell if he really wanted to do it. I didn't know that was the thing. I didn't know Jamie Foxx could just pick anybody out of the audience and be like, yo, get up here. And
I mean, he used his powers to do it. He got the audience to... You know what I'm saying? It's not like you disappointed Jamie Foxx. It's like you disappointed the audience.
Yeah.
So you got the audience into it, you know?
It could have been worse. You could have got hit in the face with a dick.
Big Sean was advertised. Did he perform?
I haven't seen a Big Sean performance.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I didn't see a Big Sean performance.
I didn't see that. Only one I saw Yolanda. I saw the tribute. I saw.
Shout out to Anita Baker, Lettucey, Marcia Ambrosius.
And the other one I saw a clip of was the Nicki one. And I realized, I was like, I don't know what song these are. But okay, I guess.
Nicki has been promoting the album. I don't think the album exists.
Is it out?
No, it's not supposed to come out till August now.
But
she's been promoting this album for over a year. Ever since No Fraud, she's been like, I'm in album mode, I'm promoting this album. She's been putting out a track two at a time. Both of them, every time, has been like, oh, they all right. But she put out two of them, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
None of them have been like, she has not found the Anaconda, she has not found that Super Bass, she has not found that, you know, whatever she's looking for, I don't think she's found
it. I don't know what it is, but the songs that I have heard come out, I'll listen to them, and then they're not in my playlist anymore. I don't know. I feel like somebody was supposed to take over the summer by now. I don't think it's happened yet.
Yo, shout out to her, man. You gotta see that performance when she brought that electric guitar out. Then she brought that Daniel Caesar guitar. It was like. You said what?
I was like, that was the one I feel like I got to check out because I didn't even know he was performing. But they performed together?
Yeah, they performed together.
Oh, that's dope. Because her is somebody who I know Daniel Caesar a lot, and her is everybody's hyped up to me. But okay, I'm excited to see that.
She's, as far as what I saw on TV, she can sing well live. You know what I'm saying? That was a good live performance, one of the best live performances I've seen in a while on an award show.
Okay.
That bum was there. He's at one point he was sitting next to Wale.
You talking about Buckwheat?
Yeah, Buckwheat.
This is I had to improve upon bum. I ain't gonna let you call him a bum, man.
What do you mean?
He clearly has stuff in his pockets. He has uses for them. At least give him Buckwheat.
Whatever.
All right, let's talk about.
He was sitting next to a false prophet, wasn't he?
No. Stop trying to make this song. This song came out 2 years ago. Over two years ago. You still trying to, you know how much other beef we could be talking about? We talk about this. Why are we even talking about beef? We could talk about love since that's the wave right now. We can talk about this fashion show.
Hey man. Yeah, basically Louis Vuitton fashion show proved that Drake don't know what the heck he talking about.
Yeah, Drake taking silent L's.
Oh man. That was one of the illest things I've seen in a long time. Like, you know, it's just a culmination of everything kind of, you know, that's what's happening now. The people who, you know, is part of his team, the people who he's collaborating with, they are the people who are running European fashion right now. Like, the menswear is literally being ran by Virgil Abloh. He was able to do whatever he wanted to do. He made kicks that were inspired by Jordan 3, you know. But because he's not a Chicago Bull, because, you know, he can make them whatever color he wanted to. All sorts of different colors. He can make his own soul. If you go back and look at the sketches him and Kanye were doing 10 years ago, you know, it's like all of that is coming into fruition. Immediately he tried to change the silhouette, you know, something dressed, the pants were baggy, but they were slack. Mm-hmm. But they had pleats. But, you know, the first 10 models that walked out were black males.
I'm assuming
like this is a whole revolutionary thing. The theme was the Wizard of Oz, you know. It's Pride weekend. They walking on a rainbow. I mean, there's so much there. Look at who was in attendance. Tekashi Murakami was there. 2 Chainz was there. Ivan was there. Ye was there. Kim was there. This is Kim's first time in Paris since the robbery. You know, like that's huge. That was very big of her to come to, you know, to support Kanye and his collaborator Virgil, even though the last time she was there was a traumatic experience. If you follow Don C on Instagram, you see that his room got broken into, you know, a day before the fashion show.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, man. And I mean that moment at the end, you know, that was one of those things that.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it was all over the internet, but it was special. And Virgil, you know, even though a lot of people are not into fashion, Virgil really has done so much that's permeated, you know, athletes, that's permeated, that's gone through, you know, hip-hop culture. You know, it's almost like people who don't even know what Off-White is knows
right.
Off-White hoodies when they see it. They know the Off-White shoe when they see it. So, you know, it's cool that Virgil was able to step out and do his own thing, even though he was under Kanye for so long, you know, and be able to get credit for it, but then also people could see that it was a mutual thing.
Yeah.
You know, like he posted leading up to this, he posted the Marc Jacobs and Pharrell glasses, and he posted, you know, when Kanye and all them went to the Louis Vuitton fashion show, you know, the whole South Park episode is based off of. They were out there making history. That was 10 years ago. You know, that was 2009.
And they did it over the Kids See Ghost beat.
And Virgil is the one who was in that picture that nobody knew who that was. You know, people knew who Don was. People knew who Fonzworth Bentley was. They knew who Taz Arnold was. They might have knew who Chris Julian was, but they did not know who Virgil was. And now look at Virgil, you know? There's some people who posted a picture and cropped Virgil out.
Oh, they did it in. I mean, look, if you see, that was a whole history of, like, how we got here, you just did. But even like me knowing a fraction of what you know, I would say it was a cool moment because you knew, I think you could watch it and you know and be like, oh man, these is like different spaces that I don't like. Instinct, you'd be like, oh, are they supposed to be here? And it's like, it was a statement kind of show. It was like watching it felt like that, even not knowing
you
everything.
See ASAP Rocky, you know, in something like that before, or you see some of them, but not all of them at the same time.
That's the thing. You know? Like everybody and front row, everybody, you know, doing something different in it.
And then like just seeing how like, okay, so Virgil's the head of Louis Vuitton, but then Christian Dior, their new head is Kim Jones, and that's who was kind of plugging in Virgil to Louis Vuitton before. So now the Dior show, you know, Kid Cudi's there. Dior has a collaboration with Kaws, you know, that did the alternate 808s cover, that did the cover of So the Casket Drops for the clips, you know. Mm-hmm. Dior has Yoon doing their jewelry. He did all the pal chains that Big Sean used to wear. So, you know, the pal chains that Cudi and Kanye used to wear and the rings and stuff. He's doing the jewelry for Christian Dior. So it's just like their whole movement from 10 years ago is like, also making decisions on what the next way is.
Got you. It was a dope show. I mean, I don't think anybody can say more than what you just said about it because you pretty much didn't take so much context into it.
Yeah, man.
Probably the most in-depth.
But, you know, you say stuff on the podcast and then people feel some type of way and then they got to tweet you, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, man, hey.
Was the Yay Sayer that come up again?
I was going at it. I went in the fire on Twitter. What was that? Tuesday? Wednesday?
Uh-huh. Over what?
People were upset with what I said about the cop shot the kid. And I feel like that was pure opinion.
I did see that. That was pure what?
You know? Opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like people really, really want, you don't got to throw your, I mean, people like want to throw their perception of a song on you and like on the podcast and stuff just because it's like a kind of mark of authority or some kind. But it's just like, you know, it's how you feel about the song, especially like a sensitive subject matter.
That's how I felt about the song due to what Kanye has done and what Trump has said. And people were saying to me like, parts of the government and stuff, that has nothing to do with what, you know, if I feel like if you supported Trump and you make, you know, a verse that's pro Black Lives Matter, I'm going to question it a little bit of where it's coming from. Just because, you know, and then there was this whole debate on Twitter about whether you could be Black Lives Matter and MAGA at the same time. And then these people who were in the middle of this Venn diagram that I didn't even know those circles connected, you know, were like tweeting me like, you can be Black Lives Matter and be MAGA at the same time. And I just don't see how those two things are not opposite.
You get kicked out of each of those opposite protests, each rally, you know. I've seen what happened when Black Lives Matter shows up to a MAGA rally. It don't end well.
Yeah.
They're not treated well.
I didn't know the dude that wears the Blacks for Trump shirt at the Trump rally. I didn't know he was the yay say. You know what I'm saying? Now I know that.
He was like, yo, you think he gets paid to do both? He gets paid to carry the sign and listen to the podcast just to see, like, what, like, make sure you're in tune to what's going on.
Yeah. I didn't know. Like, when I did that Alex Jones impression, that's all people heard.
They're like, oh, shit. Oh, man.
Yeah, I put my alpha brain down. Once I saw them tweets, I was like, you know what? Let me do this alpha brain alone.
Yeah. People need to understand we don't intersect. I did Serene in Soren's show, Brown Privilege, on Tuesday, and they brought me up with the podcast because they both listened to it and liked the podcast. And I had to, so like the whole crowd was like, oh, kind of like, oh, fuck this dude at first. And I had to like, I got to clarify, like, no, this is just because it's a Kanye podcast, we are not.
Hey.
What?
We report the news. You know what I'm saying? You can't get mad at Al Roker because it's storming outside. All right?
Oh, this fucker. Al, like floods. Like, no, I don't like floods. I don't like
flood. It was a flood. Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Ignore that? I have to do a whole... Listen, here's a statement from Al Roker. I do not condone anything the flood has damaged. I really like that store. That was not my intention.
I mean, I'm all for debates. I love debates. I love when people have solid arguments. You know what I'm saying? I love when, like, you know, I love being a contrarian. I love taking sides that I don't even necessarily feel in order for the sake of making a great argument. But that being said, if you're going to come in a fire, if you're going to throw them at me, be consistent. Make your arguments make sense. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going, and all these people who sent all these paragraphs, you know what I'm saying, because they think they got me or whatever. Sometimes I'm away from my phone. Sometimes other stuff's going down. Sometimes I'm eating. Now I got a whole book I got to read because somebody's like, oh, he's quiet now. You know, that's not the case.
Oh, man. Well... Yay-sayers, keep your tweets brief. Two sentences max. I don't know what to say from there, but whatever. It's always, I mean, debate's good. But also, we got to know where people stand. I feel like when we were, like, as far as leaning into, like, political stuff, Kanye did also give an interview to somebody from New York Times where he kind of clarified a lot of the stuff that had happened prior to when they started releasing albums and just about like that whole Wyoming time. It was pretty, I'll say, I think it was pretty fair. I think they gave him a chance to kind of, you know, like, okay, put his stance out there and where his mind's at and also check him a few times. It could have been harder, but I mean, it's like, how much are you going to do? But I think the two things that were important, there was one part where he, you know, talks about how he felt the need after like that Charlamagne interview, and they talked about like, you know, this is like such a clear-minded, and it was just kind of like a very serene kind of Kanye that you were getting in that Charlamagne interview, and how he felt like he just needed to go to TMZ, like he just had a feeling like the whole time he just felt like he needed to, like, that's the kind of the energy he wanted. And he kind of did what you did. Like, you remember when he said he voted on Trump and you were trying to stick me with that wordplay the whole time that he never would say?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I never said slavery was a choice. He's like, go back and check it. I never said that. And he tries to be like, because the thing is, everybody focused on that and nobody was trying to hear him, which I give you credit for that. At the same time, he did say, like, how he feels that people... are almost so informed and moving by so much negativity and things like that, which kind of, some of it's weird. I feel like Kanye's a guy I'm coming to accept more, that he's just a guy who's going to be full of contradictions, But at this point in time, he's just all about energy. I feel like he talks about his bipolar disorder, how he deals with that, how he tries to, you know, be different with how he reacts to that. I ain't a doctor, so I don't know, you know, if it's good if he decides, oh, this is how many pills I'm going to take versus what you're supposed to or whatever, things like that. But when he just talks about the music and work, that's interesting because he talks about how basically those days of like perfectionist Kanye are pretty much done. Like he's trying to put all the flaws out there, even with music. I think one of the things that is mentioned in it is that how he's always kind of editing. Like he's almost like self-editing, not just like in interviews and stuff, but just like with the music. And he's just trying to show, I don't know, all the flaws and the process and kind of like all the parts of the rough draft that you don't get to see. And he's just like, if you keep the initial feeling, you just keep it. You keep updating and updating and updating. And then you kind of get maybe a message that is more authentic. At least that's how I kind of take away from it. But people should read it.
Yeah, I think people are taking like this new approach and comparing it to the old approach, and I think they're totally different mindsets.
Right.
You know, I think before it was like make everything perfect, and I think now it's like, you know, the way that we consume music is different. The way that we, you know, get away from music is different. And I think that, like, you know, if we, you know, he's doing it more rushed, more like to be more in the moment and speak to more like, what are we, you know, how do people feel right now? How do I feel right now? You know, he always said his albums were a time capsule. But I think before he was able to predict what the sound of the time sounds like. And now, you know, he doesn't have to do that. Now it could really be that. It could really be like, I take a couple months, I go to a place, I make a thing, and you have the thing immediately.
Right.
Not I make a bunch of execs listen to it. I convince them that it's good. I convince them that it's okay. You know, it's not that sort of thing at all.
Right. I think you get good and bad. He talks about how he was like, yeah, 8 days before Ye came out, there were no lyrics, which can be disconcerting. But also, I mean, do you like the thing is, I think that Ye is really raw and I love it. At the same time, it's like, man, what did these lyrics like if you give it 2 months?
Yeah.
You know,
what if he didn't eat Frito-Lay? What would your tooth be chipped like? You know what I'm saying?
Things like that. I feel like, oddly enough, he says kind of one of the most kind of ignorant things to me, where he kind of talks about like that whole too informed thing. He's like, people kind of need to have the mindset of a child, even like almost like with politics.
No, that's not what he said.
I ain't saying it's like verbatim.
He said artists.
Yeah, artists. But he's also talking
about making art. He wasn't talking about when living your life. That is very important. Because I read that and I was like, what? And then I saw like, oh, he said artist.
Okay, but when he's talking about people, but when he's talking about, I'm talking like the child mindset, okay? But he's also talking about when they brought up the politics, and he's talking about people are like over it. You don't have to be so informed. That kind of.
Yes. He's not in the politics business. He's in the feeling business.
But that's what I'm saying, though, because he's talking about going at it just off feeling.
Yeah, because he's in the area of making sound. So sure. That's where he's coming from. And he's been saying that for years. He told Bret Easton that when he made My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, he had the mindset of a 10-year-old. When he made Yeezus, he had the mindset of an 8-year-old. Like, basically, he's going backwards.
It's
And he's like, you know, the goal is to be as youthful as possible. The goal is to have, you know, it's the idea of children say what they feel regardless. You know, children, like, you know, it's like, it's not, there's certain aspects of that he adopts, and there's certain aspects of that aren't there, you know?
I mean, I'm not saying I don't like all, I mean, all right, so take that and also take in consideration what he talks about, basically, at least as I took it, not being concerned with competition or comparing, you know, people to trees in a forest, or like the value of that tree versus how many trees there are.
What?
I'm paraphrasing, but he basically talks about kind of something he said before, where he's like not concerned with competition with his peers, where like not like, okay, I was the number one rapper then and Drake's number one rapper now, whatever, but like all that stuff you used to be concerned about, you know, it doesn't matter. That seems, you know, that's childlike, because I feel like those things of competition and worth being dictated by other people, that stuff you don't worry about till somebody tells you you have to be, because that's society. Like, everybody is supposed to, you're supposed to be like the nicest person, and you're supposed to also stomp on everybody, which doesn't correlate.
It depends.
I guess so, but
that depends on your childhood dynamic.
Oh, you knew right away? Like, that's how you have to approach everybody?
I had a sibling. I feel like with siblings, then, you know, competition is there, you know, it's inherent.
On rewards.
Huh?
With reward, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's like what you get. But
you're saying that competition is not something that's natural.
Not in the way that it is mostly. I think when it comes to how we have competition in society, it's not just about, you know, you can have competition and that is, I don't necessarily, I guess we could say like more innocent, and you know, and it's not all about, not just like humility, like I have to be number one so this person can be number two, and they have, like, I get to reap the benefits of being number one and they reap the losses of being number two or whatever number they're not, versus,
yeah,
you know, being able to have a status and still be able to support and look at everybody else as a peer. That's not like, you don't have to look at them like you're beneath me. I feel like that's the thing that is taught to us. You know, I can have competition. Like, it's like one brother I'm super competitive with on a level that is purely like, I want to destroy you. And another brother, you know, is like, it's more about the fun and enjoyment of it all. And however it ends up is how it ends up.
I got you.
I could think about it some more. I mean, I think the bottom line for this interview for me is there is more tidbits to take away to think about. Even on, like, some stuff, you're like, obviously you're not going to agree with all of it. Just like he states, you know, he's not, how he feels about Trump is the same way, where he's not necessarily going to agree with everything. But there's positive stuff to take out and think about in regards to Kanye that he hasn't really talked about before.
Yeah.
And
no, it's a great article. You know, definitely should check it out. I mean, I think the New York Times is a newspaper. I don't know why it took so long for them to put this out.
They feel like the albums are out. That's what I feel like, it's a Kanye thing.
Every day, you know, and they, you know, they really, I don't know. Maybe they sound like the rest of us did. Maybe they were like, you know what? Hey, we couldn't put this out now, but keep that same energy comes out on this weekend. So let's just wait.
That sounds like a Kanye move. He wouldn't. I mean, I would say this: throughout the whole time that these albums are coming out, he has not really stepped on anybody's over, like, he's not stepped over anybody's project as far as putting himself in the news or anything. It's been pretty much about what's going on. Anything else, like, reported on him is reported on him, but he's been very, like, about the work, it seems.
That's very true. And he did it.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't think he was going to do it.
Some people thought.
One of them things where he, remember them albums he was talking about? You know, he really did it. You know, maybe we'll find out later that he didn't produce all the albums, you know, whatever, but...
Other people worked on him, but they're all credited.
Other people worked on him, but other people were out in, you know, in Wyoming.
Right. Like, I feel
we'll
like...
We'll see.
If anybody is... I mean, who's on... Like, Mike Dean's on all of them in some way.
Yeah. So,
there's clearly other people that work here. But, I mean, I feel like now we at least get a chance to, like, step back and think about it and, like, not as rushed as people seem to have to think about it. Like, you know, like, we've been given quick reviews on everything, but now we get to be like, okay, so where is this in the rotation now? You know, how do we feel about it, like, a month later? We're going to be able to do that later.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I say we wait a month. And then we see how we feel about all the projects. And then maybe 6 months, we see about how we feel about all the projects.
You know? After Big Sean and Sci-Hi albums come out.
And Bump J,
apparently. I feel like there's definitely more
Bump
work.
Bump J and it's somebody else, right? Chief Keef?
What? Nah.
No?
Nah, I don't think it's Chief Keef. Do we got any, you got any other thoughts on Tiana's album?
Like how they say Dark Side of the Moon syncs up well with the Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Like, if you watch the Wizard of Oz and play, listen to the album, Dark Side of the Moon, they go together well.
This is the first time I'm hearing about it, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Well, if you listen to this Tiana album and you sync it up with that Honey sequel that she made that's on Netflix, it syncs up real well.
You gonna make people watch the sequel to Honey?
Hey, man. Hey, that Honey movie's not that bad. It's all right.
All right. I'm in. I'll give it a shot, maybe.
We'll didn't finish it, but, you know, I when I do, I will keep that same energy that I have right now. I promise you that.
Wow. Okay, that was pretty good. I'll give you that one. I think somewhere in there is a good R&B album. I just feel like, I don't know, maybe it's too much fat. Maybe I feel like it should have been more or less.
Maybe, what do you mean, less? You want 4 tracks?
I think somewhere in the middle, you have like 4 to 5 songs. That I'm like, these are the songs. Maybe like 2 of them.
The first
I'm like,
couple songs, I don't even like the way her voice sounds. Like, I don't understand. I feel like she should have went to Wyoming. She's the only one that didn't go to Wyoming. And I feel like it shows. She should have went to Wyoming.
No, I feel like from Issues to Never Would Have Made It is pretty much where, like, those are the songs I can go back and listen to those songs. I think everything else, I'm
What's his name? Is his name Marvin Sapp?
Yeah.
Yeah, Marvin Sapp tweeted her. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, no. So Erykah Badu tweeted her. What did Marvin Sapp say?
Maybe it'll grow on me. Maybe I'm gonna look like an idiot. Who knows?
No, I don't. I think expectation wise, you're pretty on the money. Cause I was expecting this to be the one. Like, this is gonna be the best one.
I was expecting
out of all
this
of them.
Gonna be the one that Def Jam is gonna be like, yes,
yeah,
this is what we needed. You know.
I don't know. I just
and where was Iman Shumpert? I was expecting the Shumpert.
What the fuck? Who wants to hear Iman? Does he act like?
What do you mean?
He.
This man is a champion rapper. What are you talking about?
No, we got Ty Dolla Sign. That was what we needed.
Ty Dolla Sign.
Yeah. Isn't that him on Three Way?
Hmm?
Isn't that him on Three Way?
Come on, man. I'd rather have Shump.
Shump ain't got the high top no more. He's in the decline. I don't need to hear
Come
him.
Come on, he in Sacramento, man. He got time.
I didn't even know what team he played for.
He got plenty of time. The Canes. He played for the Sacramento Canes, man. Come on, Shaq's his boss. He on TV every day. He got time.
Wow. Shout out to Eric Dampier.
Shout out to Vince Carter. He also was on the Kings last year. I don't know where he's going.
I think he just needs to suck it up and go play for the Warriors. Just go.
Shout out to Spider-Man.
Why are we shouting out Spider-Man? Oh.
Hey, man, I got my reason.
And as always, shout out to Monique. I feel like we could talk about issues to Never Would Have Made It, and that, I don't know. I just, not knowing that much about Tiana, maybe I wanted some more, and some more like concise. You know, this is what it is, but this is what we got.
This is what we got. Hey, I don't know. I felt a type of way about it, Never Would Have Made It, and then Snoop Dogg performed gospel at the BET Awards with all the gospel artists, and then I was like, you know what? Maybe it's not that bad, you know? Snoop Dogg performed Ain't Nothing But a G Thing. Wait, not Ain't Nothing But a G Thing. He performed What's My Name, and then performed What's My Name. He said an F-bomb. He said they blipped it out, and then he performed his gospel song. Put on a robe and performed his gospel song.
I feel like whatever expiration date for people to check Snoop Dogg is passed long ago. He's just doing whatever Snoop Dogg wants to do, he's doing it.
Also, he was building Snoop. He took the dog out. He's just tired of explaining the switch out of the lion, and he was like, all right, just put Snoop. Like, I don't...
Whatever Martha calls him, I'm going to call him that.
Whatever what calls him?
Whatever Martha calls him, I'm going to call him that.
Who's Martha?
Martha.
Who's Martha? Oh, Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whatever she calls him.
He probably calls him Cal. He's probably saved in her phone as Calvin. She probably calls him Snoop. But in her phone, his name comes up as Calvin B.
You think it's Calvin B and Snoop in parentheses?
Yeah, no. He's the only Calvin in her phone.
Probably. I'll give it that.
Yo, shout out to Martha Stewart.
Yeah, shout out to Martha Stewart. She did more time than Snoop did. Why are we shouting out Rachel Ray? Let's rope it in.
I mean, just why not? You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Emeril Lagasse.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who Emeril is?
Like the cook Emeril?
Yeah.
The guy with always the red shirt?
Bam.
All right. I haven't heard that. Like, why don't I don't give a shit. Why are we doing this? We go shout out fucking Bobby Flay. Is he still cooking? Bobby Flay still cooking.
Yo, shout out to Jamie Foxx going on stage with his drawers on, hot off of Me Too allegation.
Wow. I didn't know he did that. Okay. He must know he won.
I guess. I don't know. That was weird. It was weird. It felt weird.
Got any more weird shout outs?
All right, Chris, I'm gonna let you finish, but that's been a BPA podcast. We back to our regular format after this.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for sticking with us. We're on time all except one time. So we did better than the good music rollout.
We did as well as Wyoming.
Yeah.
We just had one that was a day late, just like they did.
Yeah. So by Kanye standards, this is pretty good. But thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next time. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.